Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Well, as I said before, it is great to be with you today. Some of you have been asking about how my health is doing, and it's doing good. My heart procedure went well. My heart is in rhythm, and it has stayed in rhythm, and so I am really thankful for that. I'm not back to where I want to be yet, but I am heading in the right direction. I could actually stand to sing the songs today, so this is a bonus, and that's all good. And I've been on a month of holidays. That was good. Our holidays went well. We spent some time up at Linda's brother's cottage around the Haliburton area, and at our cottage on the Ottawa River. I got some motorcycle time in, and so that's all good. So holidays were what holidays were supposed to be. Well, as was mentioned before, I am celebrating an anniversary. Actually, I'm celebrating two anniversaries. Today is the seventh year that I've been here at Asbury. Can you believe that? It's gone by so fast. And I'm celebrating 40 years of pastoral ministry. So instead of preaching a normal sermon like I do, we're going to start a great series next week about who God is and who you are in God. But I thought this week, what a great opportunity to testify to the faithfulness of God. So I want to take some story time just to tell you stories. Stories of how God has been faithful in my life. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he said this. He said, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." If you can flip it to the next slide. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So, I knew ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, or maybe I wasn't that small, knee-high to a frog, that I was called to vocational ministry. There was no time or date that I remember saying, okay, this is it, where I heard God's calling. It was just something that I knew that I knew that God wanted me to do. So, being young, I'm foolish a little bit. I fast-tracked school. So back then, we had 5 years of high school, right? And I took the 5 years and 4 years, and then I went out to Edmonton to North American Baptist Divinity School, and they had a Bachelor's of Theology that was made up of 2 years of liberal arts courses and 3 years of Master of Divinity courses. And so I took the Bachelor of Theology course, which was actually a fast track to the ministry, but I did those 5 years in 4 years as well. And so at the ripe old age of 22, I became the pastor at Bruce Mines Wesleyan Church up by Sault Ste. Marie. 22 years old. What was I thinking? What were they thinking, right? Bruce Mines is moved there in 1985. It's a town of about 600 people, about 70 kilometers this side of Sault Ste. Marie. It was a church of about 40 people or so, and they were nearing a church split. The pastor that was there before me was voted out, by a narrow margin. Here I am. I'm 22 years old. I'm going into this situation. But God was faithful. Remember, I arrived up there either the Monday or the Tuesday. I hadn't had my first Sunday yet. So I arrived up there, and I met a number of people, including a girl by the name of Judy. Now, Judy was getting married on Saturday. And she thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to have the new pastor take part in my wedding? So I'd met Judy. I hadn't met her husband yet. And so, I wasn't doing the wedding, but I was just, they wanted me to take part in it. So I said, oh, sure, great, I'll do that. And my responsibility was to get the groom and the groomsman into the side office. Now, you had to go through the sanctuary, and the side office was off to the front of the sanctuary. And then we would all come out at the appropriate time. Well, it's getting time, and the groom isn't there, and the groom isn't there, and the groom isn't there. So I decide, well, I better go out and look for him, right? So I go out and see this guy who's dressed rather nicely, and I ask, you know, are you the groom? No, I was her last husband. Well, we got the service going, and the music in the service was a boombox. You remember the boomboxes, like on the front pew of the church, right? And so somebody hit play, and so the processional came down. The bride gets halfway down the aisle, and the music runs out. And so they say, just hold it. And then somebody goes around, hits rewind, and play. And so like we go to this wedding, and you know we're done in like 10, 12 minutes. The wedding was over, and I'm thinking, what did I just get myself into, right? Before the first Sunday. Well, you know, God was gracious, and it was a good place to start off ministry. But I didn't know anything, right? So I read on the sign that Tuesdays at 7 p.m. was supposed to be prayer meeting. Well, I hadn't been to a prayer meeting for quite a while, but the name's self-explanatory, right? So I showed up, and six or seven other people showed up on the Tuesday evening for a prayer meeting. I said, well, it's prayer meeting, so I read a piece of scripture, and then I said, let's pray. Well, I prayed, and everybody else prayed, and we're done in 10 minutes. I said, well, I guess it's time to leave, right? I learned later that prayer meeting was kind of a code for Bible study and prayer meeting, but I was just learning what it meant to be a pastor. Oh, I did so many faux pas that first year. I think it was 3 weeks before I remembered to take up an offering. The first number of weeks, I finished preaching and I would bless the people, say goodbye, and they're all looking around like normally you have a closing song, right? I was still learning, but God was gracious, and it was a good place to learn. But during that first year, I hit a major spiritual crisis. I always thought of myself as good, but in reality, I was a little pharisaical. And part of it was spiritual warfare, part of it was being first place of ministry, all these people depending on me, part of it was not knowing what I was doing, and I was in over my head, and the devil started to bring all this stuff up from my past. And I testified to the forgiveness of God. I'd received Jesus into my life when I was 4 years old. I knew forgiveness, but I just couldn't shake this burden. But it was there where I learned how to fight spiritually. And it was there where I learned the grace of God. God's undeserved favor. It wasn't because I was good enough or I did the right things or I knew enough that God received me. It was His grace. His undeserved favor. And wow, that's something that has marked my ministry ever since. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It's God and what He's done for us that matters. And His favor is towards us. And so I learned that in my first year. Well, when I got up to Bruce Vines, the Wesleyan Church, which is a sister denomination of the Free Methodist Church, it was the furthest west church of the Wesleyan Church. The next closest one was North Bay. So almost 5 hours away. Trying to figure out, okay, well, what do I do with that? And then I looked at a map, and sure enough, there was a Wesleyan church in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And so I drove over to Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Now, that was the times when you could cross the border with a driver's license and a nod, and went across the border, and I knocked on the parsonage door of the church in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and I met a man by the name of Dale Kessler. And Dale became a mentor for me. All those nuts and bolts questions of ministry that I had, I got to ask him. And he was in his late 40s at the time, he was one of those graces that God sent into my life. It was one of those things where God has been faithful to me because He's sent faithful people along in my path. You know, it could have been anybody that moved into the pastorate at Sault Ste. Marie, and not everybody has the patience for a young pastor, but they became my home away from home, and I appreciated it. It was in Dale and his wife Lois's living room where I met my wife Linda, and that's a love story for another time, but you know, it was one of those things that God brought a lot of good things my way. Bruce Vines was a great way to start ministry. It was Northern Ontario. Education was not highly valued there at the time, and I'd just come out of seminary, right? So I had all these $100 words, theological words that I could use, and the people were really transparent. If I said something they didn't understand, you could see it on their face. They were kind of scrunching up their face and trying to figure out, what's this guy saying? And so I learned to put complex ideas into sentences with short words, and that's a good skill to have and to know. During my time in Bruce Vines, I was introduced to a guy by the name of Ron Miller, and I learned a little bit about hearing the voice of God. My theology was deepened, my heart was deepened, and I am so thankful. Again, God's faithfulness, bringing the right people and the right information and the right heart across my path at the right time. Well, God was gracious, and the church grew from 40 people when I started to about 80 people or so, and that was its capacity. You know, you jam 80, 90 people into those pews, and that was about all that you would get. And I thought, hey, you know, this is pretty good. This is more than 10% of the population, right? If we had that in Perth, we'd have 600 people at Asbury. So, you know, that was good, and people came to know Jesus, and things were going well. But I got the feeling that it was getting time for me to move. Became a little restless. Some of it was thinking, I've told these people everything I know. You know, I was 22 years. What did I know? Well, it went to that church in 1985. Linda and I were married in 1987. And in 1989, Linda came to me and said, you know, I feel like God is calling us to move to Ottawa. And I prayed about it, and I think she's right. I think that's what God is calling us to do. Now, the thing about the Wesleyan Church that you need to know is that if you're going to move in the Wesleyan Church, all pastors move the same Sunday, the second week of July, right? So it's kind of like musical churches for those who are going to move. And so, you know, if you're going to move, well, you know, you kind of resign in February, March or so, and that gives people time to, get their ducks in a row. So, Linda and I had no clue that the pastor in Ottawa was going to resign or not. I knew the guy, Reverend Erickson, wonderful guy. He had given no indication that he was going to resign, but God, we felt like God had called us to Ottawa. And then, you know, February goes by, we don't hear anything. March goes by, we don't hear anything. And we're starting to wonder, did we hear God wrong? That's always a possibility, right? Did we hear God wrong? But sure enough, eventually this call came from Sunnyside Wesleyan Church in Ottawa. I was 27 years old at the time, and they thought I was a little young for the place, but we went there anyways. And Garney Carswell was on the search committee for that at that time, right? And sat in a room. I remember all these people sitting in a room asking me questions, and I preached, and it was really obvious that God had called us to Sunnyside at the time. Well, God was gracious, and I saw the faithfulness of God, so we went there in 1990. When I got to Sunnyside, they were running around 100 people or so, and there was a group of about 30 university students, because it's just down the road from Carleton University, and a group of empty nesters and seniors, and that's it, right? Other than the assistant pastor and myself, I think there was only two or three young married couples there, hardly any kids, hardly any youth. So, You know, 30 university students and seniors. Now, talk about a discrepancy in cultures, right? And so trying to figure that all out. But God was gracious. And during that first year, that 30 university students bounced up to 90 university students. All of a sudden, now the university students outnumber the seniors, right? And so, that makes life interesting. We introduced courses and we introduced drums. Well, that was a big thing back then. And you know what happened? The seniors would come to me and say, "Pastor Brent, I don't like the music. I don't like, what's going on here. But I love seeing the young people in church. And so keep on doing it." They gave us permission to actually see what God would do in church. I was so thankful for that, because they could have said, "No, we're not having that," because they could have voted and stopped the whole thing, but they didn't. And so we start to see God bring university students in, and God did some amazing things through those university students. And well, people said, you can't build a church on university students because they don't have any money, right? True enough, they don't have any money. But what we found is that the university students would graduate, and about a third of them would stay in Ottawa and get good jobs. And they had been ministered to, so they gave, and they allowed the ministry to flourish. And I did weddings. I did a lot of weddings. In the year 2000, we had 16 couples get married from Sunnyside that year. You do weddings, kids come after. So kids ministry came after that. God grew me as a leader those first 4 years. I felt like my very, very best was just adequate. Well, God had given me, God's worked with me and taught me, and I started to come to understand that God had given me some spiritual gifts, and that if I trusted in Him, that God would do His work in His people. And so God spoke to people, and people grew. The church then outgrew my leadership ability. The church went from one service to two services, and those two services combined would be 300, 350 on a Sunday morning, and I was over my head, and I knew I was over my head, and I knew that if I didn't grow in my leadership ability, it would be time to leave. And right about that time, One Way Ministries came along and said, "Yeah, there's this organization by the name of Arrow Leadership, and it takes like some of the top leadership people across Canada, and it mentors them, and we'll subsidize your way there." And so I went to Arrow Leadership, and it enhanced my leadership capacity and ability, and I was able to stay at Sunnyside for a lot longer. I gained a lot of tools. Well, so the church was flourishing. The church was growing. There's a lot of good things happening at the church, at the church. But my personal life was not flourishing. A year after we arrived in Ottawa, Linda started medical school at the University of Ottawa. She was a physiotherapist when I met her. And she applied and was accepted into medicine at Ottawa U. And after 4 hard years of medical school, she graduated with an MD. And she was the valedictorian of her year. She started into her residency for family medicine. She got into her residency about 3 months, where she hit a wall. Now, she'd always suffered with low-grade depression, but now the depression was full-blown, and it was debilitating, and she had to withdraw from medicine. And the next decade and a half, 2 decades, were comprised of bad years and really bad years. There were months and months and months on end where I'd come home and I wasn't sure if I'd find Linda alive or dead. And if somebody's suicidal for a week, well, you put your life on hold. But all of a sudden, if it's 2 months, 2 months, you have to do what you need to do. And there was a lot of days where I was scared to come home, wondered. Now you need to understand that Linda is one of the smartest people I know. And, you know, if anybody could have pulled herself up by the bootstraps, it would have been her. And she went to psychiatrists and tried a pile of medicine. She had counseling and prayer counseling. And, you know, if it was available and it was moral, she tried it, and it seemed like nothing worked. There were months where she just couldn't get out of bed. But we had our kids in 1996 and 98. We'd been married for 9 years by that time, and if we were going to have kids, we thought we'd better have them soon. So the kids came, and the depression didn't get any better. In fact, it probably got worse. Now, what Linda went through was exponentially harder than what I went through, right? But I'm telling my story, not hers, so you can talk to her about her story. So I'll give you life from my perspective. I go into church, and the church was booming. If you could label ministry as a success, it was a success. Then I would go home where the darkness of depression overwhelmed the home, and I felt helpless. Sometimes I felt hopeless. There was a number of years where I functioned as a single dad, and I felt like I was failing at that. I'm failing my family. So I got this one side where life is flourishing and the other side where, it's hard. And I would go to church and I would preach, and I preached the truth I knew, not the truth I felt. And my soul hurt. And there were so many times when God came and he showed up by his presence, and I had enough to make it through that day and the next day, but I hurt. And I'd be calling out to God and say, God, where are you? God, why don't you do something? Why don't you heal Linda? And I would see all kinds of answers to prayer, except for the prayer that I really wanted answered. But in the middle of that darkness, when it was sometimes really hard to see God and to hope in God, God was faithful. It's easier to see now in hindsight. In the middle of it, you wonder, is he going to come through or not? But God was faithful. There were times when he would show up by his Spirit, and there was a sense of his prayer, presence would say, Brent, I've given you the strength to do this. Just walk it. There are times when he just gave me what I needed to move on. There were times when God was very plain. I'm using this to sanctify you, to make you holy, to change your heart. And so, you know, I became like Job, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Or like Peter, where else would I go? Only you have the words of eternal life. And I relied on his promises. I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And so the depression went on. But I saw his faithfulness, and I saw his graciousness in people. People made a huge difference. Church board was gracious. This allowed me to work as I could. And so, you know, it was amazing. There'd be some weeks where I'd only work 30 hours that week because that's all that I had capacity for. But people came to know the Lord, and people were growing in faith, and the church was booming, and that was good. In 1998, God brought across my path through the Billy Graham crusade in Ottawa. I met Doug Ward, who was the pastor at Kanata Baptist Church, and Dave Crawley, who was the pastor at St. George's Anglican Church downtown Ottawa. And we decided to meet together for mutual support. And we still do. Every month we get together, and I've seen the faithfulness of God through them. We walk with each other through the hard places in life. They had some hard spots too. And they walk with me They gave me just a sense of presence. When I couldn't feel the presence of God, their presence was there. And God ministered to me through them. I found it interesting, you know, as we've traveled over the years that, you know, we've shared each other's lives, and it's been an amazing journey for us. During my darkest years, my prayer became, give me this day my daily bread. And so he provided people. There are a lot of times when I felt God gave me what I needed for the day and only the day. Sometimes through his word, sometimes through his people, sometimes through his still small voice. But I found that God was faithful. He provided what I needed each day. Sometimes no more than that. But he was always, always, always faithful. Well, Linda's depression was significantly helped by surgery and by medication and by some counseling and by prayer counseling. Our relationship had taken a hit in the middle of that, and it was helped by a wonderful person who God brought across our path for prayer counseling. And as I look back, I see the faithfulness of God. There is no way we would have made it unless God was faithful. Well, I was at Sunnyside for 28 years. It was that time where we saw, I think it was a little over 30 people called into vocational ministry of some kind or other. Some became pastors, some became missionaries, some became workers in some Christian parachurch organization. And because we were close to Carleton University, we would lose some people every year because people graduated and moved on. In fact, there was a decade in there where we lost 25% of our congregation every year. And our congregation grew by 5% every year. So that meant that a third of our congregation was brand new every year. Try to foster Christian community with that. Made it really interesting, right? But Christian community developed, and I was thankful. I figured that over the time I pastored there, I pastored between 2,000 and 3,000 people because of the churn that just is part of university life. And I often felt like it was over my head, but I learned that it is Christ who works, who would do the work. I just needed to be faithful and do what he's called me to do. Well, during that last 7 years at Sunnyside, Linda went back and she got her bachelor's of social work and her master's of social work. And I went back to school, worked at my doctor of ministry. And in 2017, you know, we both had this sense that God's call for us to be at Sunnyside was coming to an end. And so I had a very distinct call that I was to finish my doctorate, and then I was to resign. And so that's what happened. In 2018, in January, I resigned. I let the board know that I was resigning, then went to New Zealand for a month and came back, and we walked through the process of letting people know. And we resigned. We didn't know where God was going to take us. We just had a sense that that this is what God called us to do, so we would do that, right? Well, I contacted Cliff Fletcher, who was the bishop at the time of the Free Methodist Church, and I knew that Perth was open because my in-laws were here, but Free Methodist Church takes forever to change pastors, so it just, you know, I wasn't sure if it was going to come open. But when I came here, I just had the sense that I couldn't look for another church until Asbury said no, because I believe that God wanted us to be here. Now, you know, if you're a pastor and if you're, you can't say, well, God's called me to this church, right? Because if you say that, then you kind of cut the legs out of the search committee and the people who are asking you, well, you know, if I say that he shouldn't be here, am I going against God? Well, you can't say that, right? But just we had the sense that God had called us to Asbury. And I think that's been borne out in what God has done here. In fact, being at Asbury here has been like green pastures and still waters to our soul. We walked through COVID together, right? We made it through there. And a number of my friends had horror stories of what went on in their church. We don't have those stories in our church. Not everybody agreed, but everybody was pulling together in unity. Disciples are being made, growth is happening. And so I'm so thankful to be here. Here's some of the lessons that I've learned about the faithfulness of God over the last 40 years. Don't doubt in the darkness what you've learned in the light. Sometimes life gets pretty dark. But if God has taught you something in the light, the darkness will try to obscure it, but don't doubt in the darkness what you've learned in the light. Second thing I learned is that God doesn't waste our pain. He uses it for a refinement and for his glory. And sometimes he uses it to help other people. My time walking through our darkness, I learned that the gospel was about life. There came a point where I knew I was just surviving, I wasn't thriving. But as I searched scripture, the gospel was about life. And Jesus came that we have life and have it to the full. And that for me, that meant that I needed to learn to receive Christ's life, even when circumstances around me were not optimum. I've learned that I can trust the character of God. God is good even when life isn't. God is faithful. He's been faithful in the past. He will be faithful in the present. Spiritual warfare is real. Learned that too. But it takes some discernment to know what is spiritual warfare and what is life. And when you're in the middle of it, it's not always clear. Helps to have some people around you to have some discernment. I feel it has been God's grace bringing us to Asbury. I am so thankful to be here. We enjoy living in Perth. I feel very much called to be here. I see God doing some good things. I think you and I are a good fit, right? And so I'm thankful for that. And so 7 years here celebrating the faithfulness of God. That's good. So I look back over the last 40 years, and all I can say is that God is faithful. God is always, always, always faithful. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness. Even when life is dark and the road is steep, and the river threatens to overwhelm us, you're faithful. Thank you, Lord, for in the good times and the graces that you bring across our path, that you're faithful. Thank you, Lord, because, well, you have been good, so good. Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.